Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Well, there was an edition of Raw that happened on Monday night, so we got to talk about that. Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman. Quick reminder.
What?
Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. If you do it on iTunes, that's probably the best place. Nothing against you, Stitcher. We love you. But wherever you subscribe to us, please rate us and review us. That helps us out tremendously. You can find all the audio on our SoundCloud page now. It's at soundcloud.com/between the ropes. And if you really want to be nice to us here at Between the Ropes, support us on Patreon. We'll love you for it. It's patreon.com/between the ropes.
I will marry you for it. That's how much I'll love you for it.
Unlike Big E tried to do, there will be no Star Wars spoilers here on the podcast.
But yes? You bring up a good point. We have a very culturally significant thing to talk about this week. It's not often this happens.
But we did. Let's put it this way.
One of those once in a lifetime. I mean, it's like a once in a lifetime culture. I mean, now it's going to be once a year culture event. The Slammies. You know, this is one of those multimedia events that just takes over.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. It's a record breaking. I just.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Good luck trying to pull that one out, okay, Chief?
That was pretty good. I had that joke cranked up, man. I was waiting for my cue, waiting for you to take a breath so I could put it in there. It was my.
Let me tell you this, okay? I understand WWE wants to do the Slammies and whatnot, okay? But you know what? For all of us people that are devoted to watching Raw on a week-to-week basis, please, please, move this show to the WWE Network, please. So that way we have a choice we want to watch. If you want to be that dedicated, then do it, okay? Then you go and watch it there. But for everybody else, you know, I don't want to be subjected to that if I don't have to. I mean, it's crazy. And then I know WWE will say, well, we got more votes this year than ever before. Okay. But that doesn't mean they're smart votes. I mean, did you watch the Slammies and see who won in some cases? I'm like, who are these people that are making these votes?
Yeah, this is the problem with the Slammies. And we'll dig into this and maybe offer our own alternative Slammy candidates as we go through the show today. But the problem with the Slammies is that when you open up every category to fan voting, it becomes a popularity contest. And some of those, this should be treated like an award show, where there are these number of awards being given out that are decided on by a secret committee, i.e. the WWE writers, that forward storylines in meaningful ways, but also represent what the year was in WWE. And then you have those fan favorite categories, one or two that can be voted on by the audience. But you can't open it up like this in a show where there are, for example, that Seth Rollins moment, undoubtedly the oh my God moment of the year. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense to give it to Kalisto because while that was an impressive moment, it did not have the lasting shock value that Seth Rollins did. But people don't have that kind of nuance in their perspective when they make votes like this. So I hold this against WWE for setting the show up in this format.
Well, Seth Rollins being on the show was like one of the bright moments, okay?
Okay.
That was one of the best things on the show, even though I felt bad. I don't know if it, I'm sure it wasn't Seth's choice, and I'm not saying he didn't want to be there, but he's getting the call. The WWE says, you might win, so we want you to be here. And I felt kind of bad considering, like, this guy is rehabbing a serious knee injury. And even when you saw him, I mean, his leg is in a full cast, basically, or a full brace, and he's hobbling out there in crutches. And I'm all like, why did you force this guy to be there? I'm like, I mean, I understand that not everybody's going to be there to accept the awards. And that's another thing to get into if you really want, because there was four people that didn't accept awards. Now, mind you, some of the Rock and Ronda Rousey, I can understand why they're not going to be there, okay?
Right.
Brock Lesnar, that's another story. I mean, now, mind you, he only has a certain number of dates on his contract. But he did work a WWE house show in Los Angeles two nights before. And all he did was he had a match with Alberto Del Rio that I don't think it was too long, but wasn't too short. And then afterwards, he beat up Del Rio and Rusev. And but you couldn't have Brock Lesnar. I mean, I know that the whole thing with Brock Lesnar is he's not about awards, and Paul Heyman even said that, but you didn't have, you know, Lesnar there. You're not going to have Rock, and you didn't have Rousey there. I mean, who else wasn't there that had actually won?
So it was Rock, Cena, Lesnar.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Boots and Tights wasn't there.
Johnny Boots and Tights.
But he's still, you know, he's still filming.
So right, but, yeah.
But then why did you have to have Seth Rollins there?
Yeah.
I mean, I like seeing Seth there, but the dude is rehabbing a major injury.
Yep.
I mean, I hope he drove and didn't fly. You know what the funny thing is? That, I mean, SmackDown is on right now as we're taping this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on.
I do. I'm watching it. I'll give you live play-by-play.
Okay. But here's the thing I want to know about, okay? I don't know if Seth drove to Minneapolis or if he flew. I'm going to, because, I mean, and I would hope drive, just because, you know, you get in the air pressure, what's that doing to his knee? I don't know if that would be, you know, bad for him at this point or not. But, I mean, driving, it's still a little bit of a hike. I believe SmackDown tonight is in his hometown of Des Moines, Iowa, or near his hometown. And I'll bet he's not on SmackDown.
Weird. Interesting.
But I was very happy to see Seth. I mean, I thought it was kind of weird seeing him considering the knee injury, but any chance I get to see Seth Rollins, overall, I'm pretty cool with that. And he won. So I give people credit that at least he won the Slammy, as stupid as things are sometimes. But at least he won it, you know, and he deserved it for Superstar of the Year.
Right. I agree with that. You know who else I was happy to see?
Who dat?
Chewbacca and Leia and Han Solo.
Yeah.
And other things I'm not going to reveal in this podcast, but
let me ask you this, okay?
Okay.
When is the time that anybody can openly talk about Star Wars and all the spoilers and everything?
I will give you until December 31st. If you have not seen it by then, that's on you. But I'm giving you 2 weeks for a movie. Okay?
Joey Ryan threw that question out last night because he even said on Twitter, like, can we start talking about Star Wars?
Nope, and not even been a week yet. No.
My response to him was, no, you have to wait at least 2 more weeks. I said, between now and then, I guess you'll just have to have the conversation with at Joey Ryan's penis, which is a real Twitter account.
Weird.
I was hoping to get a response to that tweet. I did not, but
unsurprising. We won't dig into spoilers. Movie was fantastic. If you love Star Wars, go see it. If you don't love Star Wars, go change your mind about Star Wars, then go see it. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of movie magic. But yeah,
people were pumped. I mean, we had a lot of people that, you know, the theater I went to, there were a lot of people that were dressed up. There was nobody that was really crazy, but there was people that were dressed up and they were having fun with it. In fact, I wasn't wearing a Star Wars shirt, but I have a Star Wars hat. I have a Star Wars hat.
Yep.
And here's the reason why. Okay. I own a Star Wars shirt. I actually own two of them, but I had wore one the day before. I was wearing one that day. I had to fly in the helicopter for my job. And the pilot still had the door on, and it was warmer out than we thought. And we had to stay in one area for a little while, and I was sweating. And I was just like, I have to change shirts. So I couldn't wear my Star Wars shirt, but I had my Star Wars hat on.
Okay. Cool.
I got chastised by Dickerman about why I was not wearing a Star Wars shirt. And I had to explain it to him, and he was like, okay. I was like the only person in our group outside my wife who was not wearing a Star Wars shirt.
I went and bought a new Star Wars shirt for this event. Like, I had a Star Wars shirt.
Yeah.
And then I went and bought a Boba Fett shirt, and it was a buy two for $20, so I also got an R2-D2 shirt. So
there you go. I was wondering, Target has some new Star Wars shirts. They've got ones that've got like the Falcon on it, where it's flying and you can see like a vapor trail in the background that's like red, white, and blue. They've got that going on right now. One of our friends had like one of these, you know, like the athletic gear kind of stuff is, where it's kind of a cool shirt, you know, kind of different fabric. He had that, but it was a BB-8.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think he actually got that at Disney.
Huh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I was really surprised we were talking about spoilers. there were a number of people trying to spoil it all over the internet. There were people like literally logging in as and completely unrelated message boards, apparently on Reddit and on IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going on there and changing their handle to be spoilers from the Star Wars movie. And that's all they put. So you just be scrolling through and boosh, there's a spoiler.
I don't go on Reddit that often, but I was on Reddit like a day or two before. Okay. Well, here it is. Okay. So the screeners were Wednesday night, right? For people that Tuesday night. Okay.
Yep.
So like on Wednesday, I was on the wrestling Reddit page. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And someone actually had a thread and it was titled something like, "This is not wrestling related, but if you're on Reddit, be aware there are people on here spoiling Star Wars."
Right, right.
And it was like, why would people do that? What would drive somebody to do that? It's to be that big of a prick.
They just want to feel like they have control and power. It's a deep-rooted psychological issue.
Let me tell you something. I don't use this term lightly, and I don't use it often. But if you went out of your way to spoil Star Wars, you know what you are?
What?
You're a butthole. You are a butthole.
Wow.
Okay? Flat out
buttholes.
Butthole. Okay?
Woo! You told them. Told them those buttholes.
I can say the A word, but you know what? When you say butthole, because it doesn't get thrown around that much, it means more. It flat out means more. And I mean it in both every sense of the word butthole that you can imagine, too. Even the literal sense, okay?
So you're either a butthole or, what you refuse to say, an aggravating individual.
Yeah, man.
Is that what it was?
Buttholes. So, I mean, I got done seeing Star Wars, and like the next day I went on Twitter, and like one of the things that happened on there, I wanted to see if it was like a hashtag, and it was. I was like, it was trending or something. I was like, oh, come on, people, stop this.
Stop it.
I'm like, so, I mean, you have to, I mean, if you went to see Star Wars and you are an avid person on social media, like you had to change your habits for a good 24 to 72 hour period, depending on when you're going to go see the movie, so you didn't get it spoiled because of the jerks out there in the world.
That's right. You should you should do something about that.
And by the way, somebody mentioned this to me. I should have the information right in front of me. So, and we'll get back to Raw here in just a second. So, some jackhole wrestler, I guess in an indie show, either Friday or Saturday, cut a promo in the ring, and this goof freaking let out one of the spoilers from Star Wars. Okay? Let me tell you what a heel move that is. I mean, that is just wrong in every sense in the imagination, okay? For somebody to do that, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Yep.
Like, I know you're trying to be a heel, but there's a difference. Like, if Big E had spoiled it on Raw like he had teased.
Yep.
I mean, if he thought that he had some people get mad at him because he, you know, used a Pittsburgh Steelers terrible towel to wipe off his sweaty pits, okay? And he really did get some heat about that, okay? Just imagine the backlash if he had let out a spoiler from Star Wars. I mean, you just can't do it. I mean, there's a right kind of heat and a wrong kind. That's a wrong kind.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
These people, man. And if, you know, because of the society that we're in right now, it's like if you're interested in Star Wars, you have to try to go see it within the first 72 hours, if not even sooner.
Yep.
I mean, probably 48 hours. I mean, both you and I mean, and it's funny because people acted like, oh, it's almost impossible to get tickets. Yes, there was a lot of tickets that got sold, but I know plenty of tickets that were available, you know, even on opening night. You might have had to go a little bit later, but tickets were available. Now, mind you, the theater I was at, if you wanted to, you could go see the movie in IMAX 3D. It began at 2:30 in the morning. It did have a 2:30 in the morning showing. In another theater somewhat near me had a 3D showing on Saturday and Sunday mornings that began at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
6:30, man.
6:30 in the morning. Jesus.
Can you imagine getting up early to go see Star Wars? I mean, that's really early.
Have your Admiral Ackbar cereal and
it's a trap.
Oh gosh. So, Star Wars.
It's going to
be our new podcast, right? We're going to do a between the stars, between the I just between something. Give me a name.
I'm letting you hang on this one there, buddy.
Between
the two sons of Tatooine.
Yeah, between the, that's only about 10 characters too many.
It's not any worse than comedians and cars getting coffee.
A comedian, but that's got a ring to it, like comedians and
hey,
cars.
I told
that
you,
consonant,
man, my, I
that
told
consonant.
You my concept for a show, Wrestling with Wrestlers in Restaurants, okay? And WWE stole it with Dinner for Three.
And they gave it a better name. I'm sorry, I said
I
it.
I thought my, mine
saying,
was catchy, okay? Now, mind you,
I'm
the URL
saying.
Is a little bit long, okay? Mm-hmm. I admit that, but... You know, it's catchy. If you can say it's a tongue twister.
You can shorten that. Wrestling with Wrestlers and Restaurants for... Yeah. What is it? Wrestling with Wrestlers and Restaurants?
Yes.
So it would be www.wwr.com.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wrestling with... Well, actually,
WWIR.
All I'm saying is Cheap Pops struck a genius.
I know. That's
struck a genius.
We have it. We got to use
Mick
it.
Mick Foley stole it for his on-the-road comedy show. Our idea. We're suing him. Legal action will be... Get our lawyers. Get our between-the-ropes lawyers on the line. Let's get these... Let's take Mick Foley to the cleaners.
Let me tell you a true story about the between-the-ropes lawyer. He's no longer practicing law. Okay?
We're that good. Put him right on a bit. I mean, listen. You take us on as a client, you're made for life.
I had a retainer. I mean, damn it. The hell?
That's what you get.
Let's get back to Raw. So the Slammy sucked. Like I said, they got to move this to the WWE Network. Here's the thing, though. It's when you go into watching Raw, you expect to see storylines, matches, action, excitement, things like that.
Uh-huh.
You do not get much of that at all when you're watching the Slammies. The Slammies, even on a three-hour show, just overtakes and envelops all of it. There's bad comedy. It's just boring. And I know people say, well, what's the difference between that and the Academy Awards? Well, number one, it's the Academy Awards. It's a bigger deal. You're going to see people earn, awards for their, excellent work. And, I'm not trying to put down a Seth Rollins or anybody that has like a wins wrestler of the year or match of the year, whatever. Even though it is voted on by wrestling fans and they're going to be for their favorite, whether they like a person or not. That's how they're going to vote. And that's not the way the Academy Awards vote. But the other thing is, too, the Academy Awards, you get interesting speeches. You get some fun moments. Sometimes you get some awkward moments. You usually get some pretty good comedy. There's some times where it doesn't go over as well. But also, when I go into the Academy Awards, I don't expect to see wrestling action. I don't expect to see storylines. You know, these are things that I expect to see when I tune on Raw for 3 hours on Monday night.
Yep. It was... Oh, how do we say this nicely? Because I don't want to be negative here.
Do you think that the Academy Awards will adopt the LOL moment of the year?
Yes, I've heard that that's going to be in the running. There will be some, Star Wars will likely be in contention for that. People spoiling Star Wars will likely be in contention.
That'll be
that.
Under the OMG shocking moment of the year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're not going to say what moment it is because we don't want to spoil it. I think there are a number of problems with the Slammies, and I think that they play it too hammy. And we say this about a lot of the things they do on TV sometimes. If they would just make that show a little bit straighter, and sure, I like the idea, make it a WWE Network special. Make it this big retrospective of the year. Make it something important. You can still use it to further storylines without having to ham it up and cheapen it. And again, I go back to this. You can't have the audience vote for everything. You know, there are certain times it's okay to tell the audience some things. That's fine. Set up storylines with this show, but have it reflect on the year. The problem is when you have people like Nikki Bella winning Diva of the Year. Really? So,
well, how about the promo that she cut afterwards, which was a powerful speech that she gave, but she's supposed to be a heel. So she's breaking character out there.
Yep. And that was weird. There were a lot of things. A Paige was real weird. Out there.
I don't know if Paige is a babyface or a heel. And then we don't know that about Stephanie or Triple H anymore. And we'll get to the Triple H thing here coming up. But how about the line that and I know people are digging on Michael Cole about this, but it was also done by whoever the announcer was, the that hosted the Slammies, you know, when they came back from breaks. Mm-hmm. I know that they're trying to build up their own show and whatnot, but the line was that the Slammies are, quote, the most prestigious award show on television.
My wife believes it. She said she believes everything that comes out of Michael Cole's mouth. So. Oh.
I was waiting for Dennis Miller to come back. I was like, dude, if you go back and you watch Dennis Miller hosting the Slammies, when he first comes out there and he puts on the old, you know, the Ben Franklin reading glasses, uh-huh. At one point he's looking down at his notes and he has not a scowl on his face, but a look of, I can't believe that I need the money this bad that I'm doing this. And and he's looking down, he goes, and he's got this like perplexed look in his face. He's looking at his notes, he goes, I am so excited to be here. And I'm like, no, you are not. You are not excited at all. You're gonna fire your agent or your publicist right after you get through this.
I know, right? That was terrible. But you know, I got so many feelings here, Brian. I don't know how to express about what I really think about the
Slammies. Are you trapped in a glass case of emotion right now?
So, the glass case of emotion, kind of like Han Solo was trapped in carbonite. That was in the old movies. Oh, see what I did there? I really did not like a few things about it. And one of the things I didn't like was the – I'm going to get there. Just give me a second. I'm working on this. The award that they gave to themselves for being – you know, look, we give back to these great organizations.
The hero in all of us.
Oh, my God. Did that not feel like a self-serving award?
Was it just me?
It felt slimy. I was like, God, John Cena deserved that. Homeboy is a hell of a human being, right?
Right.
But God, it felt slimy and self-serving.
Well, there was a rumor, and I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that, but there was some talk that Stephanie McMahon was actually going to be nominated, but they didn't want to do that considering she was playing such a dastardly heel on the show. And plus, with her being, you know, one of the, you know, she's in management for the company, so they didn't do that, but... Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, everybody that got nominated, they deserve it. You know, they all do great work, and there's other people in the company that do great work. Quite honestly, if you wanted to give an award to somebody, and it's nothing against what John has done, I thought Titus O'Neil should have won because Titus, that's all he does is charity work, like, in his side time. And the guy, I mean, he's just a really, really, really good human being. But, yeah, I get where you're coming from. It was quite the pat on the back.
Well, and Titus O'Neil does it very silently. I don't think John Cena does it for the recognition.
Right.
But there's also something to be said about the reason these guys have access to these charity networks and the reason they can do so much and get those numbers up is because they're celebrities. Yeah. And so basically these guys become celebrities and then they increase their celebrity by doing these kinds of things. And WWE increases its brand by promoting what these guys are doing because they're celebrities. And it just feels at a certain point like it's very just self-serving, you know?
Oh, yeah. So the some of the awards that they have on here and the way that they hand them out, it's just crazy. I mean, like, okay, so they had Tag Team of the Year. Yeah. The Usos are extremely talented. But, you know, they haven't been together, team, you know, having matches because of an injury for most of the year. But yet they won. And, I mean, how can you not give that award to the New Day?
Right.
Now, you could sit there and say, well, it's not legit. Then why the hell are you doing it? And why are you playing it off like the way you are? And it's funny because I'm sure Big E wasn't pissed, but he was playing it up on Twitter because the award got handed out like on the pre-show or even before then. Maybe it was on WWE.com.
Yeah, beforehand. And
he put this out here on Twitter. He put, if there were physical paper ballots for Tag Team of the Year, I'd be using them to wipe after I dropped a sloppy deuce. # Slammy Awards. And then later he called them # Shammy Awards.
But that's a good point. Like, how can these guys who have dominated the tag team scene all year long not get that award?
I know.
And it's a fan favorite award. Like, it cheapens it. If you can't say something's the best when it's a popularity contest.
Well, how about this? Okay. So they did Match of the Year. Okay. I was looking at some of these matches, and I mean, most of them were good, but I mean, they put this four-way between Reigns, Ziggler, Owens, and Del Rio from Raw. which was good, but I don't know if it should have been nominated. They did have Cena against Owens, okay. Cena, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins in the Royal Rumble. I thought that should have won.
Yep.
The match that did win was Hell in a Cell, Lesnar and Taker.
Which, okay, really, guys? Really?
I know. But how about this one that was nominated? Sting versus Triple H, WrestleMania 31. Are you freaking kidding me? Come on. Come on, people.
Yep.
Come on. Jeez almighty. Yeah. What was another one that they did? God, they do that LOL moment of the year. R-Truth, thinking he's in the Money in the Bank. Now, mind you, you laugh about that a little bit, but the comedy that they've had, especially this past year, not the best.
Well, and that's the kind of award you're going to give out, like, and make a big deal about it and promote it and priorities. The thing about an award show is that it escalates, right? You start off with the no awards, the technical superlative accessibility in using stereo equipment to make small sounds on a big movie screen, right? Like those kind of like really weird awards, right? And then you go over, and by the time you get to the end of the show, it's best actress, best picture.
Right.
And then WWE's like, oh, we're going to start off with giving out our who's our superstar of the year, and then we'll come back and give out the
They did that in the middle of the show, and the last one they did was match of the year.
Right. I just, again, I don't think it's booked like an award show. It's booked like an entertainment show, and that's the problem. Bring a host out. Make it a thing. Go on the WWE Network. What are some of the other ones that were really weird? Like
to be fair, at the Oscars, they usually start with Best Supporting Actress. Wow. They do all the technical stuff like in the middle.
Well, that's true.
They did the OMG Shocking Moment of the Year, which it should have been Brock Lesnar destroying everybody the night after Raw, or Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank, which probably should have won, okay? Kalisto hitting Salida del Sol off the top of a ladder through another ladder one. Good for Kalisto, but how was that a shocking moment? He did a move.
Right.
I mean, he did a crazy-ass move in a match.
Yep.
Okay?
And it was an impressive move, but it was not the kind of moment that we're going to be talking about years from now. They will show it in highlight packages, but Seth Rollins cashing in is not only one of the biggest moments of the year. It's a WrestleMania moment.
Oh, yeah.
That is historic.
I'll tell you who I felt bad for. So the first award that they gave out on TV was the Breakout Star of the Year, and it was Neville, right? Okay.
Yeah.
How do you not vote for Kevin Owens?
Owens. Right.
Dude, but how about – so Neville had to go out there and give an acceptance speech, okay? So this had to be all done on the fly. So Neville has to go out there and say, wow, I'm really surprised, and he was. And then Kevin Owens comes out with an impromptu promo that Neville probably doesn't even know where the hell he's going, right? And he's doing this, you know, this is ridiculous. How did you win? And what does Neville do? He just walks off and, like, throws his hand in the air like, I'm not going to deal with you. I'm like, really? You have to make Neville look like that much of a pansy? I mean, come on. Poor dude. I mean, like, you guys are killing me right now. You're just absolutely killing me. Oh, God. They did the tell me you didn't just say that moment. It was Lesnar introduces Suplex City to the world. The whole award's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. Couldn't they have at least given it to Rollins for calling Johnny Manziel Johnny Idiot Face?
Right,
which was as
right.
funny as anything that they did all year, and that was off the cuff, okay?
Yeah.
By the way, your boy Stephen Amell won an award, at least.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just shows. It pays to be a celebrity in WWE.
Yeah, that's basically the gist of it. Like you said, Nikki Bella won for Diva. They had Rivalry of the Year, Taker against Lesnar, which I'm fine with. That's fine.
Yeah.
So if they want to have Shocking Moment of the Year or Big Moment or whatever, where was Rusev on a tank? Where was Rusev on a tank, okay?
It was not shocking. We expected that. I mean,
did you expect
boy
to see Rusev on a tank come out?
Yep. That was it. Sergeant Slaughter cued me in.
Could that have been Extreme Moment of the Year? How about This Is Awesome Moment of the Year? That's where it belonged.
I just wish they would have had, like, they need to be more creative with their categories. Like, they could have had Foreign Enemy Sympathizer of the Year.
Yes.
You know.
Especially just, now with the League of Nations.
Right, exactly. Just, you know, all these things. biggest botched storyline of the year.
Well, there'd be too many candidates to nominate.
Right. worst Raw of the year. We have about at least 10 possible episodes of that show.
Well, including the one that they're having right now. You bring out Santino, and he says, the winner, the show you're watching right now. Let's put it this way. There's a reason why Triple H has not been on Raw the last 2 weeks. It's not just that he's selling an injury, okay? You can't tell me that dude saw that they were doing the slammies, so and he's like, Vince, I got to sell the injury longer. And Vince goes, but Hunter, you opened up the NXT TakeOver London show, and you were perfectly fine. No, Vince. This is Raw. I'm still injured.
It still hurts.
I think I got re-injured. Oh, for real. Bruised ribs. Oh.
I mean, the categories possibilities are endless. You could have had most injured superstar of the year.
Oh God.
I mean, we could just go down the list. Worst Big Show match of the year.
Oh God, too many. Same with Kane match. Well, supposedly you see where Kane and Big Show are obviously, well, Kane came back and Big Show's coming back. But I guess the talk is that they are not going to be, they're being moved down the card. They're finally not going to be top of the card, guys.
Okay.
But we know how long that lasts. Oh, we got an injury. Guy's not getting over. Bring out the big guy.
Gotta get the big guys out there, huh?
And I'm not talking about Ryback. I'm talking about that big guy.
Get the big guy. We could have had it.
Where was Ryback on Monday?
I mean, I'm saying Ryback could have had his own category. Weirdest thing Ryback said all year long. Oh. We would have had at least 5 or 6 things to choose from there.
That would have been a great category.
Oh my God.
I like this. Best original programming. Stone Cold Podcast. I like the Stone Cold Podcast, but really?
He's doing
his podcast on his own. He'd be doing it if it wasn't even on the network. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
Give it to WWE 24. Give it to Table for 3. I don't care.
Desperate. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that they don't have a category that was something like Best Wrestling Video Game of the Year. And it was literally WWE 2K16.
Well, here's this, too. WWE Network Show of the Year, okay? So the other one, so it was Breaking Ground, Table for 3, Stone Cold Podcast, WWE 24. And Swerved. Okay, Swerved got canceled.
Yeah.
Okay, how the hell do you nominate? It's a show of the year, but canceled. You can't at least have the Renee Young, what's the show though, where she's unfiltered, where she sits down with people. You couldn't have put that in there. You put Swerved in there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Here are the positive things that I took from Raw, okay?
Okay.
Well, a couple things. Number one, Seth Rollins, when he comes back from injury, is going to be a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the initial return, I think he will be a babyface. And for anybody that sat there and said, well, I thought maybe Seth was overpushed, or, you know, I couldn't totally get into him, or he's good but not great.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that now and think about how much you miss Seth Rollins and how much he added to the show and would continue to add if he was there right now.
Yep. The little bit he was out there, it was just so great to have him back, to see him, entertaining again. And he made me excited for his return and just that little bitty promo.
He was yucking it up because he was trying to play the heel, but he knew, but people loved him and they were cheering him. So speaking of people that you love to hate or you just love, John Cena is going to be on the show next week. He's back.
Well, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
It does. So Mr. Goody Goody, Johnny, he's back. So John Cena returns next week. He'll be taking on Del Rio. Not for the U.S. title, but I guess just a revenge match for the man that beat him clean in the middle of the ring for his title. But Cena will be back now. And they need the star power, so say what you will about John. I'm glad he's back, and he should be back.
Yep. I think the card desperately needs him.
Yep.
WWE desperately needs him. We're hitting Mania season. You know, we get through this last week of the year, and it's going to be good to have him back. I'm curious to see where they're going to go into January, into the Royal Rumble with John Cena, what they're going to do with him, what storylines they have ready for him. But I think there's a lot of possibility right now. I hope they don't botch it. I hope they continue to build and do great things. Listen, we did not break down our picks for Slammies. I think those categories are kind of a crock, and I know that next week we're going to really dig in and do what we always do every year.
Sure.
Our annual Between the Ropes Awards, Best Wrestling, blah, blah, blah of the year. But I will be damned if Seth Rollins won that Superstar of the Year, and he deserved it. But there's a part of me, I never thought I would say this, John Cena worked his rear end off this year.
Yep.
And I honestly believe, as much as I love everything that Seth Rollins did, for what John Cena did in the ring, out of the ring, giving back to the business, putting guys over, and having a meaningful year while staying away from the title picture, there's a part of me that thinks John Cena is the secret sauce Superstar of the Year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could go either way. I would personally go Rollins just because of the amount of growth that he had. And he was a guy that people didn't see coming. But Cena arguably had his best year when it came to wrestling.
Yep.
Yep. So all this crap about you can't have good matches. He's been able to have good matches for a long time. But this garbage of people saying that, I'm glad people finally got over it. So
here's the problem, though, Brian. We haven't really dug into the specifics of Raw. I mean, not a ton of really, really, really important stuff happened. If you missed it, you didn't miss a ton. But we debated this before we went on the air today. I am worried about Roman Reigns, and I think they did a great job, said this last week, of booking him coming out of TLC, of making him seem kind of more of like a badass. He's got that rough edge about him again. He's tough. He's, you know, ready to fight. And this week, I did not like the opening segment, and I think it undid a lot of the goodwill he's earned in the last couple of weeks.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the opening segment, but I didn't think they hurt him just because, well, two things. Number one, he's still acting cool. And it wasn't because he was saying goofy crap either. We're trying to make him say goofy crap, which not have made him cool. But I think he was still playing up to the crowd and people like that, even though he had, you know, his big grinning Roman Reigns. And the other thing is because people just hate Stephanie McMahon. And this was one of those rare occasions. I was really worried when I saw Stephanie out there about what they were going to do, because how many times do we get evil Stephanie emasculating everybody, putting them in their place? And it's not like the guy can retaliate, and he makes people look like goofs. I mean, look what she's done with, you know, she did this with Big Show and Kane, you know, in a segment, you know, months ago. She's done it with a lot of different people, right? She just put you in your place, and then, because she's, you know, the all-powerful Princess Stephanie McMahon. And this week, she had her temper tantrum, and Roman just laughed it off and was just like, I don't care, I don't care. Then he turned his back on her and everything. So, to me, it kept Roman on the side of the fans. Like, they were still cheering for him because of what she was doing. So it did not hurt him. And that, to me, that's the important part. Even if it's not growing more, the last thing you need is something that hurts him. And this didn't hurt him.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it did a whole lot of damage, and I'm being nitpicky.
Yeah.
I just think they did a lot of really good things by letting him speak for himself last week and really take ownership over that role. And this week, you could definitely tell that segment was a little bit heavier booked. The writing team had their hand in it a whole lot more. It did not have the same natural flow. And I'm going to go back to, you know, we didn't talk about NXT last week, but it becomes so evident to me when you watch those promos from NXT, when you hear what Samoa Joe is saying, when you hear the way they sell these rivalries down in NXT, they are not being booked by a writing committee. They're being booked, but they're giving them some freedom. And those guys have freedom to say what they want to say and the way they want to say it. And that comes across a lot more natural. So,
about natural. I mean, look at how they built up the Finn Balor Samoa Joe storyline, where Joe said, "Yeah, you are my friend, and what I did was wrong. It was evil. It was a horrible thing. But that's what you have to do when you want to be the champion."
Yeah.
I mean, how simple of a storyline is that? And it worked.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
we should jump back into. I want to talk a little bit about you. You helped me avoid spoilers last week. I want to jump back into talking about NXT before we get off the air today.
Well, one more thing, too, though. When you talk about two things, actually. So we talk about guys getting the mic and being less scripted and having an opportunity. Well, Roman is a guy that I think we can all agree with. Less is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he shouldn't talk, but less is more. A guy that should probably get a little bit more mic time, but let him be himself and not let him be try to act all cutesy and funny and whatever. Quite honestly, it's Sheamus.
I mean,
Sheamus can actually talk, and he can cut a promo. It's just they got to let him do his thing on his terms. The other thing is, Kevin Owens, that dude was stealing the show, okay? Because Well, he did a couple of things. Number one, he did the run-in on Rollins or whatever, where he said, how the hell did I not win the award? Which is true. There is little quirks, too, like when Kalisto won his slammy for the moment of the year, that Kevin Owens was actually in the ring waiting to face Dolph Ziggler, and he face-planted into the turnbuckle and was acting like he was sleeping because he didn't care about Kalisto. And then after his match, he put up there on Twitter this message because he didn't win. Christmas canceled, everybody. Return the gifts you bought for people unless it's KO merchandise. Screw you all. Good night. Shut up.
He's so good. He's so good. I love him. God, he's fantastic.
Dude, did Tom Phillips, does he owe Stephanie McMahon money the way that she beat the snot out of him? Holy crap. What is that all about, man? I felt bad for that dude. It's one thing for her to, like, slap Roman Reigns as, you know, a wrestler. And you can take it or leave it when it comes to that. But for her to freaking unload on Tom Phillips like that, I was like, Oh, my God.
Yep.
That dude just got ripped up by her, man.
Yep. That was weird.
I was waiting for her to wear stilettos and freaking stab him in the eye with it or something. You know, I was like, geez.
It was weird. It was, I don't know how to put it. I'll just say it was weird.
It was very weird. And Heath Slater still upset that he didn't win.
Oh, Heath Slater still hanging around.
Poor
still
bastard.
In there.
Yeah.
Years after the old NXT went off the air. You're still here.
So what did you want to say about TakeOver?
Great show, of course. I mean, we said that about all of them, but... solid show. A couple of things stood out to me. Number one, that overseas audience is peculiar as hell to us Americans. Okay? They are, and the reason I say this is not because them as individuals, there's anything weird about them, but they're like all in unison when they have these chants.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pick up. It's like no lag time. It's like a coordinated event. They're going to sing, "Hey, Bailey." And they're just, boom, doing it all at the same time in unison, which is interesting. But
that was a good one, whoever came up with that. The
"Hey, Bailey."
I want to know if you'll be my girl. Instead of saying "baby," I said "Bailey." That was good. Right. And then he did "Hey, Jude." Was that for that was for Cass, I think?
Yeah. And of course, we can talk about that tag team match, which was fantastic. The storytelling that's going on down there is picture perfect, because you really thought Enzo and Big Cass were going to win the titles. They didn't. It's going to make it that much more meaningful, either A, when they do, or B, when they get called up. But
do you think they're going to win the tag teams? Because I don't. I do not.
I don't either. I thought they were going to. I thought it was a great time for it, but it seems like now maybe they're going to wait and just bring them up. Number two, though, God, speaking of Bailey, I love the way that match was booked. It was fantastic. It was realistic. It gave Bayley that extra layer that she needed. It gave her a meaningful victory over a huge opponent that she shouldn't have beat, that she had to scrape by and claw to actually gain the victory over. So yeah. I think that was – you don't see that on the main roster. You don't see matches that are that, A, rough and tumble. I mean, that was a brutal match. But B, where the babyface literally gets the crap beat out of them, and the only reason they win, not John Cena style where I hulked out and came back to a victory, but she had to use a move that she never uses and just hold on to it by happenstance to win. She lost the match, but she got the pinfall. You know, like that's right. Really what happened.
Well, she got a tap out.
Well, yeah. But I was saying she lost the match, but she got the submission. Like,
sure.
She did not win, but she got the victory. So,
right.
You know, I love that booking. You don't see it very often, but it was a powerful storytelling mechanism. Hats off to both of them.
I talked about this on another podcast with Scott Fishman, but I have been really, really impressed with Emma, and I'm glad she's getting the amount of time that she's getting.
Yes.
Nothing against Asuka, who's fantastic. We all know that she's spectacular, okay? And she got a lot of credit for the match they had, and rightfully so. But Emma has been fantastic. Evil Emma has been great. The way that she's remade herself after her incident, shall we say, where she got in a bit of trouble, and she was, you know, the dancing, kind of quirky Emma, and that just didn't take on the main roster. But she came back down to NXT, and she remade herself. She turned heel. She changed her outfit. And she goes in the ring and she works as hard as anybody, and she has great matches. And she's become, you know, a top flight, you know, female performer there again.
And I think that's one of the powers of NXT, it kind of being this in-between brand. But hats off to her, because that heel role she's embracing is so far beyond anything we saw from her when she had that really weird run with Santino. And she sells it in the ring. It's a believable character. Her finisher is fantastic, of course, as always. But yeah, I agree with you. I love it. And she's doing great things to sell that character, as everybody in NXT really is, you know?
By the way, with the tag team division in NXT, because I talked about this too before, which one's your favorite tag team right now? Because there's some really good ones.
In NXT or in the entire company?
NXT.
Ugh. Hmm.
Because, like, you got Enzo and Cass, you got Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, you've got the Mechanics, you've got, if you want to put the Vaudevillians in there, you definitely can.
I'm not a big fan of the Vaudevillians. I understand how people like them.
I'm a big fan of Aiden English, where he pulled that freaking Stone Cold Stunner. I don't know. Well, I know Bailey, there was a six-person tag. I think Bailey hit a Stone Cold Stunner in a match, and Aiden English dropped down like he was Stone Cold, did that in the guy's face, you know, which was awesome.
It's really weird. Of course, Enzo and Big Cass have superstar potential written all over them, and I think both of them will go on to have a great tag team career, but even a better singles career.
Really?
I think that, I mean, Enzo can talk, and Big Cass has the size. And I worry about Big Cass, but I know he'll get by a little bit because of the size. Enzo's going to be a star.
The funny thing is, like, when you talk about all the different tag team performers, you would say that they're the worst technical team. They're the worst injury team. But, I mean, they're good. They're just not as great as some of the other ones.
They're the new age outlaws of this generation.
Yes.
I mean, they have the sayings. They come down to the ring. The crowd is with them. But they're not a technical, you know, like you said, they don't have that technical aspect about them. But I love Dash and Dawson. And you know why? Because Dash and Dawson are old school in the best possible way. Yeah. They're heels. They just have simple trunks. They're out there just doing their thing. They have a team dynamic, though, and it feels like the 80s, right? This is like one of those 80s kind of tag teams that you don't see that often anymore.
Are you talking about Brett Armstrong and Tim Horner? White Lightning, Tim Horner, and Brett Armstrong? What a tag team, man.
Wow, what a tag team. What a maneuver. Yeah, that's it.
Do you even know what I'm talking about right now?
No idea.
Oh, my God. I agree with you. Dude, turn on some of the classic NWA World Championship Wrestling that's now on your WWE network.
Okay. I do know NWA because that's where Ric Flair's from, right? Right? So I'm good there.
That's where he's from.
I used to watch... Growing up, right? Attitude Era, 97-ish.
Sure.
What'd you have? You had Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. You had WCW, Nitro.
Yep.
And ECW would come on sometimes. And sure. You had to love turning to Channel 4 or whatever your local cable access channel was. For whatever reason, they showed reruns of NWA Wildside.
Oh, so that might not have been reruns, dude. That might have been live stuff there, man.
Well, it was the 90s, and it looked like it was from the 80s. So
That might have been live, okay?
NWA Wildside was where it was at whenever you were bored on a Tuesday or Thursday. So
see, when you talk about those tag teams, all those guys are great. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, to me, are just... The chemistry that they have, the whole act, how they are different but yet are always on the same page, how they work together. Just Jason Jordan is always – he's been a guy that's been with NXT for so long and finally he's come out of his shell. They found a way to use him that's working. I mean, he was a guy there that had the looks, had the size, but just didn't have the personality. Something was missing, and he was becoming like the – kind of the famous jobber there. And then now they put him with Gable. That's worked. I mean, I can't wait to see those guys on the main roster. You've got Big E doing interviews where he's saying nothing against the tag team sharing the main roster, but my God, we would love the feud with Enzo and Big Cass.
Yep.
You know?
The tag team division is set for a giant resurgence, and they hinted at this after TLC with that promo on Monday Night Raw. I think it was a little bit heavy-handed. I think you didn't need to be that specific about it. It was a little bit on the head. But I think the tag team division on the main roster is set for a resurgence, thanks in large part to what Triple H has done with that division down at NXT. Now, I don't believe that WWE will treat the tag team division seriously enough to really elevate it like they've done at NXT, but the talent is there and the teams are there, you know?
Oh, absolutely, man.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of TNA. Like, TNA back in, like, 07, 08, 09, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had just one hell of a tag team division and so much raw talent in there. And it eventually went away. But that's where NXT is right now. They just got endless talent.
Well, there was a period there where TNA had an opportunity. And I was just like, you guys, man, I go, why don't you make tag team wrestling part of your identity right now? And they just seemed to refuse to do it until a period where you said, because remember, they had Kazarian and Daniels there. They had the Motor City Machine Guns. They had Team 3D, Dudleys. Mm-hmm. I think at the time, if they wanted to, they could have had the Hardys.
That, I mean, that's...
And they
that's
didn't do it. Raw. You know, and I was just like, my God, if you have those four teams, you're set, you know?
Yep. Yep.
I was pushing that for like a year. Like, go out there and do tag teams, man. I mean, and make that a big focus of your shows and be really super hot right now. And they forever, you know, I mean, not that they're listening to me or anything, but I mean, it was something that I just thought that the talent was there to do that. And they just didn't do it, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know if they tried to or not, but I thought that was something they could have capitalized on, and they didn't.
Well, that was what made them stand out back then, right? Was that, and mm-hmm. Of course, the Knockouts division was so hot at one point.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, we got the Raw rating. Raw
breaking news. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. After last week, Raw went up a lot. It went back down. It was still not bad, I guess. It did a 2.33. They averaged just under 3.4 million viewers, which was down 500,000.
Okay.
But considering the time of the year and everything like that, I guess it wasn't too bad.
Okay. All right.
It was still decent. Let's put that. It wasn't great, but it was decent.
And also, what about that Monday Night Football game? That was, you know, it was a blowout. Then it wasn't. Then it was. So
every Monday Night Football game has been within 7 points this year, I think. Or almost all of them. They've all been pretty close. You had that crazy Giants game a couple of weeks ago. It came down to the wire. How about that? Here's some other news that's coming out, okay? So we're still waiting for the announcement of where WrestleMania 33 in 2017 is going to be, okay?
Okay.
Now, the two common places that have been talked about are Minneapolis, or right here in my town, Orlando. There has been some talk about Philadelphia as well. I guess they've put in a bid, but I don't know how serious they are, how serious WWE is in looking at it, okay?
Going to do the WrestleMania in the old Philly ECW arena.
You
right?
know it, man. Absolutely, dude. But...
just think about that. How awesome would that be?
Tickets only cost $10,000 each, so we can make up the money. Jeez, I'm like, go get a Geno's cheesesteak right outside of the stand and come on in. By the way,
the old poker hall.
You got to walk around the back to a trough to go take a whiz.
The bingo, bingo hall.
Yeah, exactly. God, I can't believe I've been in that place. I got to go there one time. So when it comes to Minneapolis and Orlando, those two prevailing thoughts, okay? I've been pushing Orlando. And my thing is, I've always said Orlando's going to get it because they redid the Citrus Bowl as WWE asked for.
Uh-huh.
Well, by the way, I thought both of them were going to get it. But I thought Orlando would get it first, would get in 2017. They redid the Citrus Bowl as WWE requested from the last time that they had WrestleMania here, which was WrestleMania 24. And they said, love the location. The building's a dump. You got to fix it. Then they fixed it. And I've always thought that they would make the announcement the day after the Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble is in Orlando and Raw will be in Miami. So they can keep some of the superstars in Orlando. They can make the announcement and then everybody can go to Miami for Raw. Now, there's also been a thought Minneapolis would get it first for a couple of reasons. Number one, the new, I don't know if it's being called the Superdome or what exactly it's being called. But the new home for the Minneapolis or Minnesota Vikings will be done in time for that WrestleMania. And it's going to be a huge, brand new stadium. And WWE likes to be the first big event in there that's not just a normal Vikings football game, just like they were, you know, out with the 49ers stadium last year. They were the first really big event there.
Right.
So that makes sense. Plus, somebody that works, I don't know if it's in city council or somebody that works in local city government there, did work with WWE before. Okay, so it's kind of like they got a guy on the inside kind of thing, you know, or you know, the city has an ace in the hole kind of with the connections. So that was the thinking, and the belief was that with the Slammies, with Raw being in Minneapolis Monday night, that they would make the announcement earlier in the day. Well, guess what? They didn't make that announcement. And now PW Insider is reporting Minneapolis is not getting WrestleMania 33 in 2017.
Interesting.
So interesting. That tells me we're coming to O-Town for Little Mania.
Oh, all right, O-Town. So my famous pop band from the late 90s. Yeah. Got it.
So my theory is still alive that they will announce that Orlando is getting WrestleMania 33 the day after the Royal Rumble.
Spoiler alert.
Let's see if I'm right. I'm going to hold to that, though. And
what's
it's funny
the,
because
over under on that. What's your over under?
I have said that flat face, you know, very straight to guys' faces that work within the company. And I'm not just talking about like a PR guy or something like that, which I've said to PR people there. But I have said it to a very high up vice president that is involved in these negotiations. And he's got a good poker face, but you know, smirks to my face, but I've done it a couple of times to him. He's like, so I haven't been shot down on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Well, you've been shot down on some things in your life, but just not about this,
but just not about this. Okay. You know, but, I mean, they would love to come back here. And I honestly think that what WWE would love to get to is a point where, there's seven or eight cities that are kind of in a rotation for WrestleMania, just like what the NFL does with the Super Bowl. And I think the cities would be like Dallas, Houston, Orlando, Miami, New York City, San Francisco, maybe L.A., Phoenix. And I guess you could probably throw Minneapolis in that. I don't know what Philadelphia is going to get. The thing with Philly is, can you do it outside in Philadelphia? They do not have an indoor place to do that. That would, you know, be big enough. Right. Minneapolis, that's going to be a covered dome stadium, so they can do it there. But I think that's a point that they want to get to at some point. It's just how long does that take? And then I really believe that WrestleMania 33, I've said it for a long time, and I know people keep saying Minneapolis, and I think they're going to get it. But I think they're just going to have to wait another year, and Orlando's getting it in 2017. And you know what? It makes so much sense for all the people that travel to WrestleMania around the world that Orlando is the vacation capital of the world with the theme parks, with Disney and Universal and SeaWorld, and the weather and the beaches and everything that's going on here. The Performance Center is here. The home of NXT is here. You've got anything and everything for wrestling here. You know, sooner or later, they're going to build that damn physical Hall of Fame here, I think. This is going to end up being like the WWE capital outside of Stamford, Connecticut when it comes to their operations.
Well, all I know is that Winston-Salem has got a Genghis Grill. So if that's not reason to bring WrestleMania to your town.
Damn, that is true. Hey, I will say this, though. And I'm not putting down your city or the surrounding area because guess what? Greensboro, North Carolina, a hotbed for wrestling, especially in the 80s with your favorite promotion, the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance.
The New World Alliance, got it, okay.
They are getting a rare treat. They are getting an event that is not making that many appearances around the country. Because come March.
Yep.
Greensboro is getting AC/DC, okay?
All right, wait. That band, like, we talked about the NWA being from the 80s.
Highway to Hell.
Back right, from black. The 80s, right?
Let There Be Rock, all of that.
That old band from that old timey band from the 80s.
Don't you dare call AC/DC that old band. Okay.
Do they bring, let me ask you a question. So
who loves some AC/DC besides me? That would be one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Okay.
Swipe left.
So AC/DC already did the first part of their tour. They've
got some gonads.
They did some overseas stuff, and then they did the first part of their tour already in the United States, and they're only doing limited dates. And on the next tour that starts in February, they are doing Tacoma, Washington. They are doing Vegas, St. Paul, Minnesota. They're doing Chicago, St. Louis. They're doing Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Sunrise, which is basically Miami, Florida. They're doing Washington, D.C. They're doing some dates in Ohio, Auburn Hills, Michigan. But guess what? They're doing Greensboro, North Carolina in there too. And they're doing Philly and they're doing Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
And Madison Square Garden is sold out.
Yeah. Greensboro is right up there at Madison Square Garden.
I'm looking at Ticketmaster and it always tells you of like going fast means they're almost sold out. That is not the case for Greensboro. I think you can still get really good tickets at Greensboro.
So is there like a geriatric wing?
No, with these concerts? Geez, wait, what is wrong with
you? Is there like a park your walker here before you walk up to
the horrible person,
quote unquote, mosh pit? Is that...
Dude, so tickets went on sale for the show in Miami last Friday at 10 a.m. I was on there. I was on Ticketmaster and I saw the countdown to the tickets going on sale.
Oh, my God.
And I got my tickets, man.
Oh,
and
my God.
I wanted to go on the floor. But for whatever reason, they were trying to say, like, four seats are not available. And I was like, wait a second. These damn tickets just went on sale. And then at one point, there were four tickets. But I was just like, man, you know what? It's not general admission on the floor. It's reserved seating. And you're going to be below the stage. If you're off on the side, it's actually not going to be that good of a seat. So I ended up getting seats, like, about 15 rows off the floor, but straight across from the stage. You're looking straight at it. So I was like, these are spectacular. I'll take them. And I was honestly thinking I wanted to go see him a second time. And I would be interested in going to Greensboro, but the two shows are only separated by 3 days.
That's awesome. You jump on a plane. You're like a groupie now.
I am, man.
People from the retirement home, man. You guys all get together.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how many more times AC/DC is ever going to tour. I mean,
because they're so old. I know. That's what I...
Well, I'll admit this, too. So, for the longest time, one of my good friends is a really, really, really big Rush fan. Seen them probably over 20 times, right? And he always went to the shows, and, he would go by himself. He wouldn't even, tell anybody else. I think he told, his cousin one time. He went and saw him in Toronto. He went and saw Rush when they got nominated.
Where are you going to be this weekend? I can't tell you.
Yeah. He
it's going to be a Rush, though.
When Rush got inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he was there, okay? He was sitting up, in the top section. Everybody there was dressed in, jeans and a T-shirt, and he was dressed in a suit, okay? Because he was paying respect to some Rush. He was getting Rushified, okay?
Oh, God.
So this was going down. I was always I was the biggest Rush fan, but I like Rush, okay? And okay. I have a lot of respect for him. So I was like, okay, I'll go see him next time. I'll go see him next time. Well, guess what? I'm never going to get to see Rush because they're not going to tour again. The drummer retired. They're not going to tour ever again.
They come out of retirement.
No. The drummer said that he's got too many ailments and everything, and he just said, it's time to hang it up. I'm retired. He's done.
They'll come out of retirement.
Neil Peart is retired, man.
You're going to just give them a break.
They're done. They give might them a break. I guess if they can convince the drummer, they might do a spot show here or there, but they're never going to tour again.
I mean, you know, all these bands come in and out of retirement, right? That's their thing.
AC/DC right now, one of the founders was Malcolm Young, and he is not touring with the band anymore because he has he has dementia.
Oh, that's sad.
That's horrible.
Wow, way to bring this podcast down a note.
Yeah, so he has dementia, so he's not touring, and they replaced him with his cousin, I believe. And then the drummer, Phil Rudd, is no longer with the band because he was being, I don't think he got convicted on it yet, or charges are still pending.
Oh, yep.
Murder for hire?
Yep. Wow.
Which is just incredible. Murder for hire. Oh, my God. But
you
still have the lead singer, Brian Johnson, and you still got Angus Young, the lead guitarist. And that's good enough for AC/DC right there, my man.
Mm. And this was your classic rock minute. So if you're over the age of about 65, I hope you enjoyed that.
It
was fun for the whole family, especially the older members.
Hey, man. Don't you make fun
next
of
next week? We'll be talking about some NWA Wild Side, some Deep South wrestling. Talk about the territory days. So just tune right in here.
We'll talk about the title run of Wildfire Tommy Rich. Was it just too much too soon, or should he have been given a longer reign?
We'll be giving away some free aid tracks right here.
Let me ask you this: if somebody offered you free tickets to go see AC/DC in Greensboro, would you go?
Probably. Hmm. I mean, that's like. Yes, if my schedule allowed for it.
You don't mind AC/DC, though.
I'm not saying that they're great. I got some of their stuff on my phone.
Yeah, you're damn right, man.
I'm just not going to go. It's not the kind of thing I would go out of my way for.
I'm looking at the tickets right now, okay? I'm going to see what's available.
Okay.
Mind you, the setup at your concert, man, is totally different from where I saw it, man. I was just like, golly, man, this would be fantastic if I had this.
Yeah.
They almost have a pit section here, man.
I mean, here's the thing about it. Keep this in mind that the kind of events, I love Foo Fighters, right? Greatest band ever. But the kind of things I've gone out of my way for in the past have included things like seeing Bill Cosby live. Now, obviously, that was a huge mistake, right? But at the time, we didn't know about all the rape and stuff like that. So, you know, we kind of just...
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He was hilarious. And now, in retrospect, I can't really brag about that as being a life experience anymore. But,
Well, the Cause is now suing everybody.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, your show isn't sold out in Greensboro, but it's close because the only tickets that are up for sale are, like, in the upper bowl, dead to the side of the stage.
Sounds like a terrible seat.
That does not sound like you. So you got to be doing some StubHub. For those instead, man.
Let me get right on that.
Hey, man, it's AC/DC. You can't miss out on this. I mean can you imagine? I would have loved to go and see them at Madison Square Garden.
I mean, listen, that's, you know, the band ain't after the four notes they can play. That's
oh my god, they're not Nickelback, dude. Come on.
And it's funny because it's only three notes because D's in there twice. Oh god, it's good stuff.
I'm gonna punch you in the freaking
god.
I'm going to say where I'm going to punch you.
It's all right.
You're wrong.
We're friends. It's all good, man. I'll forgive you.
I think we better wrap this podcast on that note.
I think we should. On that note.
I've got a problem with you now.
Okay. Next week, we'll see how the conflict resolves. Next week, we're going to do it, though, man. We're going to break down some categories. We're going to decide what was the best wrestling stuff of the year.
Yeah.
We're going to chat Johnny Boots and Tight. We're going to chat Johnny Manziel. We're going to chat every Johnny you can think of next week in between the ropes.
Johnny Mundo, who's still calling out Seth Rollins and did an interview where he said, I have a lot of respect for the guy and I hate that he's injured, but he doesn't want me to get in the ring with him because he knows I'm better than him and I will embarrass him.
Hell yeah, Johnny Mundo. Yeah, he's going to be – we'll have him live on the show. He can give us his breakdown.
I don't think he's coming live on the show, but if I wanted to get Johnny Mundo, I think I could get him.
Get Johnny Mundo. We're going to have him on the show. He can tell us his greatest wrestling moments of the year. Do it, Brian.
It's Chris.
Do it.
I'm real. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, please subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. Check us out, all the audio. It's on SoundCloud. And, of course, if you can support us on Patreon and help us keep doing whatever the hell it is that we're doing, that would be fantastic as well. Just go to patreon.com/between the ropes. So thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy the holidays.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to betweentheropes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.